Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Kevin! You're stupid.
Hey friends, welcome to episode 516 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. I am your host, Kevin Huntsberger, and this week, life happens. I say that a lot with the podcast, but this week I had intentions to record a show with Chad. I don't know exactly what we were going to talk about. I was still kind of indifferent. My original plan for the month of October was to do a Halloween-themed podcast each week. I don't think realistically that's going to work out this year. So I think I'm going to bookend the first of the month. This is the first Monday of October. So I am going to do a Halloween-themed show. I was not able to record chat. Our schedules didn't line up this past week, this weekend specifically. Kind of crazy on my end. I just wasn't able to make it work. And then the last Monday of the month, I will do a Halloween themed show, hopefully with a co-host, with a guest, Tyler Heath Hatton, and I will be doing a podcast this month as well, talking about the upcoming return of Stride Pro Wrestling for that show coming up on November 8th, going on at the Crab Orchard High School in Marion, Illinois. So we'll talk more about that in great detail, perhaps next week. Gonna kind of work out and figure out with Tyler when he is going to be available. Now, if you are watching the video, I am wearing a Midwest Monster Hunters t-shirt. This was the Bo Sawyer collection here. Bo, a longtime friend of the show, and is doing things in the Indiana area, and I believe he wrestles even in Illinois from occasion from time to time. But he's making some waves, so find him on social media and be sure to check him out, show him some support. Last week, here on the show, I showed off some things that I had won in an auction. And as I'm recording this on Sunday evening, Sunday morning, first Sunday of each month in Southern Illinois, in DuQuoin, Illinois specifically, there is a flea market. And a lot of times I don't have much luck finding anything there. It's usually newer figures that are for sale. By newer, I mean Jax Pacific as well as Mattel's. But this, as you see, is an LJN. This is the Junkyard Dog Thumb Wrestler. When I was a kid, I never had the Thumb Wrestler. I don't know why, but never ended up buying any of these. And I saw this in the bin. It was only $3, so I thought, why not? And my friends were making fun of me because, obviously, if you're watching, you see that I just violated the Junkyard Dog here. I always found it interesting, though, that JYD, the LJN figure itself, he's wearing his traditional trademark long red pants, but or tights. But on this, he's not. He's just got on a pair of, I guess these are tights, and I always forget what the difference is. Anyway, trunks versus tights, and so anyway, I'm screwing that part of this up. But JYD is wearing shorts, and I always found it interesting, and I know that's a weird thing to think about and worry about, but a nice, cool little find here for my collection. Hopefully finding a couple more. I think he came originally against the Iron Sheik, but I don't know that to be a 100% fact. But also, I talked about some of the things I got in that auction last week, one of them being this Thunder Rosa figure, who will come into play during the conversation, the course of this conversation, specifically this week on the podcast. Chad has claimed her, so I am going to be going to Las Vegas in November for a work conference, and he is going to come out. I'm going to make a little trade ski with him. He's got some stuff he's going to donate to the cause here at My123Cents for the prize vault and taking care of business, as they say. Bad Blood, I watched most of it. I saw the highlights of the Hell in the Cell match. The dogs are going crazy. Someone is probably here. That's part of the reason why I'm squeezing in between recordings here to record, as we're expecting guests in and out throughout the day today. So anyway, I apologize for any distractions that the dogs may have just caused. But I did watch Bad Blood, part of it, most of it. And, you know, I don't talk a lot about current stuff, modern stuff. We do from time to time. And I think if Chad and I would have done the podcast together, we would have talked more about the Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes relationship. We've talked briefly about this, how it feels kind of Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior-esque, with Roman being that role of Hulk Hogan and Cody kind of playing, I don't want to say he's playing second fiddle, but definitely the Bloodline storyline is eclipsing anything it feels like that Cody is involved with. So we may talk more, dive deeper into that realm later on in the show, later on with future podcasts, especially as we start gearing up towards Survivor Series. Let's see how things go at Crown Jewel, but I'm sure before Survivor Series gets here, Chad and I will have a more in-depth conversation on Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns and the Bloodline and the return of The Rock. I guess that's kind of the big news as well. I had seen some rumors, and I'll be honest, I was watching on Peacock on my TV, which is obviously at least several seconds, if not a couple of minutes, behind what was happening, because I happened to open the Instagram app and I saw The Rock had a story up and I clicked on it and it was him standing at the show. Like, it was a live feed of The Rock as well. So I got that spoiled, you know, but again, was anticipating the return of The Rock. There was some speculation from some that maybe Dustin Rhodes would make his return to WWE. I don't know if that's necessary at this point in the game. I think Chad and I have talked briefly about that. I don't know if we've talked about it on the podcast. We have these side conversations too, so I can't remember what we talk about here on the show versus what we talk about, in our conversations on the phone. But I am going to talk more today this week. Going to do a wrestling / Halloween Under the Influence. And if you're watching this video on YouTube, I am double dipping here and I am making content for TikTok as well. So I have a second camera rolling. So if you see me holding the bottle up a little higher, that's why. So I'm ratting myself out here on YouTube first on the podcast versus what's going to happen when people see on TikTok. So I don't have my glasses on. This is called Painted Ladies. It is a pumpkin ale. It is by, and now I am going to cheat, put my cheaters on. Okay, Painted Ladies by Tyrannia Brewing. It is a legendary Wisconsin beer brewing company out of Wisconsin. So that is what is on tap, Painted Ladies. And again, it's going in with me. Halloween Under the Influence, and as well, this week is a Wrestling Under the Influence. Let's give it a nice pour here. Has exactly what you would expect from a pumpkin ale. Nice orange color here. See that? I got a lot of head there. Sorry. It happens though, right? Has a nice aroma. The nutmeg, the allspice, the pumpkin spice, cinnamon. Now it says that there's hints of toffee and other flavors in this as well. So let's give it a try. Has a nice, fresh, refreshing finish to it. It's not, you know, I like the pumpkin spice beers. I don't like it to be like overwhelming and knocking you over the head. And this one definitely does not do that. It has a nice finish to it. So for a Wrestling Under the Influence, I rate these a little differently. Do I give it a 3 count, which would be a victory? Kicking out at 2 or does it get a one count where it's not very good at all? I would give this a two count for sure. If I'm breaking it down on my number scale, probably give this one a 7 on the scale from 1 to 10. It's a nice, refreshing fall ale that you would, you know, definitely fit the Halloween scene, the party, if you will. I do like the bottle artwork here, as we can see without hopefully the reflection of the light. Again, it is called Painted Ladies Pumpkin Spice Ale. Pumpkins there, nicely decorated on the bottle. And I, you know, a marketing guy, I like to look at those aspects of beers as well. I joked with my friends, we were at the Big Muddy Monster Brew Fest over the weekend, and if I ever opened a brewery, I'm not going to open a brewery, but if I ever was in that world, I would be more about the design and the creation, the coming up with the fun names and stuff for the beers versus brewing. I've tried my hand a couple of times at brewing and not had a whole lot of luck or a lot of success with that. But since in keeping with the wrestling theme for this beer as well, and since the beer is called Painted Ladies, I alluded to her a minute ago, Thunder Rosa here, is one of the painted ladies of pro wrestling that comes to mind when I think about women who have adorned the makeup side of things, the face paint, I guess not makeup, face paint. There have been obviously countless male wrestlers who have worn makeup or face paint through the years. I just mentioned Dustin Rhodes a few minutes ago was Goldust, Sting, the Ultimate Warrior, Kamala, many countless men who have done it. Women, I was trying to think, and again, I didn't Google and I didn't go through any big search to find them, but one of them obviously is Thunder Rosa. And I'll be honest, I don't know a ton about her. I don't watch AEW as regularly as I should. I don't watch a whole lot of wrestling anymore as regularly as I should. I have seen some of her work. I believe she was also part of the NWA at one point. A solid performer, seems to have a great fan base, is popular and whatnot. But I do think when it comes to those face painted, those painted ladies of wrestling, if you will, she would definitely be at the top of the list. Someone else who came to mind, and I'm going to circle this back around to modern day stuff, but I'm going to go off the beaten path for a few minutes and go down and talk more about some of the other ladies out there. The other one that I thought of almost instantaneously was Sensational Sherri. And really, when she first came in to WWE, WWF, she was Sherri Martel. I think she was Sensational Sherri. She wrestled and was, you know, at the time when women's wrestling wasn't getting a whole lot of love, a whole lot of respect, you know, she was one of those stalwarts of the company. And then eventually, I think they kind of went in another direction where they were not going to focus on the women in, as far as the wrestling part of it went. And so we saw Sherri go under a wig and sunglasses and was playing Peggy Sue, the Honky Tonk Man's main squeeze for a bit, until eventually after WrestleMania 5, she hooks up with the Macho King, or the Macho Man, Randy Savage at the time. And when he wins the King of the Ring, or wins the King's Championship, if you will, from Hacksaw Duggan later that summer, we see a bit of a metamorphosis. And I think this is when it all started, but I could be wrong. But Sherri starts wearing more makeup, face paint, if you will. I remember painting herself up like a cat and just various other extra, if you will, when it came to the presentation. And she definitely brought a new element, a new vibe to the Macho Man character, who was now, of course, the Macho King. And then she is Sensational Queen Sherri. And I really think that they may have been, Savage and Sensational Sherri may have been one of the best on-screen couples in wrestling history. I just think that they worked so well together. She was not afraid to get in there and, you know, get kicked around. Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior, You know, those guys would bounce around Dusty Rhodes. She would do anything for her man. And that was even evident then when she went to WCW later and was in the corner of Ric Flair there for a minute. And then, of course, eventually Harlem Heat. But Sherry, I think, again, one of the most underrated, not only female wrestlers, but also one of the most underrated managers in the history of professional wrestling. I think that she got in there and did things that other women wouldn't do for sure. But then she was doing things in there that, some of the guys, I think, may have been a little afraid to do, demonstrate and show and whatnot. So I think that Sensational Sherry, Sensational Queen Sherry specifically with the face paint is one that brings back fond memories. Another one, and of course we lost Sensational Sherry back in 2007, so gone way, way too soon. Very fortunate to have seen her get inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame the year before she passed away. Chad and I were there in Chicago for that. So I feel very fortunate for that opportunity. Someone else we lost way too soon, Luna Vachon, and I think Luna is another one of those painted ladies, if you will. Not as extreme as Sensational Sherry, I don't think. I know she had times like thunderbolts and different, or thunderbolt, lightning bolts going down the side of her face and on her skull. And you know, she was one, you know, whether it was with Bam Bam Bigelow or when she was managing Goldust, eventually she was with the Oddities. And I think she did a little more craziness with the Goldust character or the artist formerly known as Goldust. But she was another one who was a pioneer in those early days when women's wrestling was more about the TNA and not about the in-ring work. You know, I can remember reading about Luna in the aftermags before she kind of went big time. And by big time, I mean showing up in WWE. And I think, and someone correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was at WrestleMania 9 is the first time we see her, and she's in the corner of Shawn Michaels, which was an odd pairing. But again, Shawn and Sensational Sherry had just split. Sherry was in the corner of Tatanka, and it was, you know, what Sherry wasn't much longer for the WWE, and then Luna was kind of on her own there. And I think she eventually goes and pairs up. I'm trying to remember, and again, I'm going off of memory for this because I literally thought of this, you know, these painted lady ideas moments before I hit the record button. So I apologize for not being better prepared in that regard. But, you know, it was Sherry and I'm sorry, Luna and Bam Bam Bigelow who kind of made that union and feuded with Doink and Dink. Silliness, of course. But again, this is in an era when women's wrestling was not getting the attention that it deserved. And I'm glad that by 2024 now, you know, and probably for the last at least 10 years, WWE has taken a different approach to women's wrestling. And I think other companies have done that as well. And I think that it took WWE kind of getting its head out of its ass, so to speak, to recognize and put a spotlight on women's wrestling and let these women go out there and do their thing, shine and glow and become. Glow, speaking of glow, I'm sure there were plenty of paint. I'm thinking of the one that was kind of a voodoo goddess, and I can't think of her name, but I'm sure there were plenty of painted ladies running around in glow as well. You know, I talked about more recent women with the painted lady concept, and, you know, certainly Alexa Bliss in her run with Bray Wyatt, she and The Fiend, she kind of did a transformation of sorts and became a little scarier, a little darker, a little edgier in her presentation and with what she was doing. And I know she has been out of action since giving birth. Gosh, I'm not sure exactly how long ago it's been, but she was another one of those women who brought something different to the ring and wasn't just about the eye candy, but was in there and able to put on good matches and become a believable, even though, you know, she wasn't the biggest dog in the fight. She was definitely someone who got in there and gave it her all. And I think that she really excelled in making that drift off from that kind of sugary sweet Alexa Bliss character to kind of the more of a bitchy character and kind of an evil conniving character to eventually going that whole other route and being in the corner of Bray Wyatt or The Fiend, pinning Randy Orton, believe that or not. So yeah, we saw quite an evolution with her character as well. And I hope we haven't seen the last of her. I think that I would hope that we get to see her come back and have some more matches in the future. Lately, the first person I thought of with the Painted Lady idea, the concept, is Rhea Ripley. You know, she has, again, and hers is more of the exaggerated makeup, I think, than it is face paint, per se. Not quite on the edge of Sensational Sherry or Queen Sherry, but she was going to the extreme with her makeup levels or her face paint. But Rhea Ripley, again, probably my current favorite women's superstar, women's wrestler is Rhea Ripley. I think that she has evolved and brought something unique to the company to, you know, when she was part of Judgment Day early on there. And you know, she's so tough and diverse in what she's able to do with get in there and wrestle the men and the women. And I think that she's been a dominant force. And I still, her going down with the injury and whether that was part of the story or if it actually happened or whatever, but, watching the match with her and Liv Morgan at Bad Blood. And I've read since then that Raquel Rodriguez, I believe I said her name correctly, was a little early in coming out, allegedly. Again, I don't know what is real and what is not real, but I guess there was a little bit of a faux pas. That's why we saw her kind of lay out Rhea and then put Liv on top of her pin, but the disqualification had already happened. But anyway, I just think that Rhea Ripley is she's still very young. She's got skill set, the mic set, you know, she's the total package, if you will. Not unlike Charlotte Flair, who I hope makes her return to the ring soon too. I know she can be a polarizing figure, but Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair's match at WrestleMania 39, were there for that one. Didn't get to see the whole thing in person, but did go back and watch it. And I think the world of Rhea Ripley. I think that she will continue to grow and develop as a superstar, as a competitor, as a champion, and pave the way for others to do the same exact thing. She has connected with the fans in a way that we haven't seen, with other talents. And I really enjoy what she brings to the product, what she does. So not going to keep y'all with this one. Again, scheduling conflicts, crazy weekend stuff going on, life happening. So it is what it is, but I hope that you will subscribe. I hope you will consider donating to the My123Cents Action Figure Drive. The collection is going on. Cash, war figures, you can ship them to me. We're going to do more contests and stuff between now and the end of the year to raise a few more bucks and get some more figures out there to Toys for Tots here in Southern Illinois. So remind you again, Stride Pro Wrestling on November 8th. Tyler Heath Hatton will be here to talk about that very soon. I hope that if you have any ideas, topics, conversation, things you want to hear and see from the My123Cents brand, don't hesitate. Let me know. Write a review. Screenshot it, send it to me, and you will get a prize. I'm picking up more prizes from Chad next month, so it's going to all be good. It's going to be a great third or fourth quarter of 2024, so cheers, everyone. Have a great week, and we will see you next time.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.